Well, welcome to this, the first Preach and Pray of St. Andrew's, Oxshott. My name, if you don't know it, is Jolyon Trickey. I'm married to the vicar, Francis. We could have gone into church to film this, stood in the pulpit, but that would seem rather soulless. The building's empty. But then we are the church. You and I, as we meet like this, are the church. So we're inviting you into our home. Come to my chair that I love to sit in. It's where I pray most mornings. It's where I often write talks like this. But before I begin, let us just cut away to Francis to say a few words, and then to read our reading for today from Ephesians chapter 2.
Hello everyone, my name is Francis Trickey and I'm the vicar of St. Andrew's, Oxshott. And it's a great pleasure to have you here under these rather interesting and unusual circumstances, but hopefully we'll all get used to it fairly soon. You will know that our church has had to close its doors in terms of holding services and hosting gatherings and meetings. However, both the church building is still open, but more importantly than that, the church, the people, are very active behind the scenes, doing all sorts of things in order to serve our community. And we do hope that you will enjoy this aspect of what we're doing. If you are in any need at all, we would love you to ring us and let us know how we can help you. Our office number is 01372 842 071 and we are attempting to have someone there most days, at least in the mornings, in order to pick up calls. So please do contact us. Now I'm going to read the reading that Jolyon is going to preach to us from, and that's in Ephesians, the letter of Paul to the church in Ephesus, chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 13. Paul writes, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one, and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, so that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints, and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, what a week. I don't know whether you feel the same, but I feel as though so much in my life has just been turned upside down during the course of this week, and all because of a tiny virus originating from literally the other side of the world. Perhaps you, like me, have begun working from home or self-isolating, like me, an ageing asthmatic. So much we find is uncertain. How long will this go on? How will we live like this for weeks on end? How bad will it get? I look up and there are so few planes in the sky. You go shopping and there's empty shells. The pubs and the restaurants are now completely closed. Just this weekend, the children have come home, perhaps from university too, for the last time in a long time. The businesses too, employees and employers, facing really challenging decisions, questions about how they're going to cope. And those over 70 having to isolate themselves. So on this Mothering Sunday, which we'd expected to be so different, what does it mean to be members of God's family? I want to reflect, I think, on three things. The first is who and what is important to me and to you. The second is to think about God's big vision for what it means to be a family, a body, a Christian community. And the third is, how can we all be the church and community that God envisages us as being? With regard to the first, let's tell the story and remind ourselves of really how Mothering Sunday came to be. Because they developed a tradition of going home, not actually firstly to see your mother, but going home to your roots, to the church that had born you, literally formed you, where you were baptised, maybe confirmed. And this became a day, Mothering Sunday, when you could go back to that place and take stock of where you had come from and where you were going. And on the way, you can imagine the scene on the country lanes going back to their home churches and to their mothers, perhaps out of service. People would gather the primroses, the native daffodils and other hedgerow plants and just make little posies and go home and give them to the mother and be with their whole families for that special day. What's important then is these people were not going home only, though it was important, to see their mothers, but historically the idea was to celebrate all that you are and all that you have been made to be and the people who've invested in you, first your mother, but perhaps your father, perhaps other members of the family, and just to give thanks to God for who you'd become and who those people were to you. So on this day today, I remember my mother, though she died 8 years ago, with poignancy and thanksgiving. But I don't just remember my mother, I remember my mother-in-law and my father-in-law, 200 miles away, in self-isolation, in frail health, in their 80s, and my heart goes out to them with thankfulness. Maybe you are seeing your mother in person in a rather different way than you'd expected. No expedition to the restaurant, but you're having to sort of make do and work out how to enjoy being together with your mother, with your whole family, with people important to you, and where you can't, how you connect with them on this special day. But important to be giving thanks to God for them and for who they have helped you or are helping you to become. And behind all that, I think I find myself in a, particularly now, particularly with everything up in the air, reflecting on, well, where are my foundations? Where do my roots go? And going back to God himself and to my faith, and to find that that is the bedrock and the source of security in the face of all this uncertainty. So for me, that's the first thing that we're doing on this day. We're giving thanks to God for the security and peace he gives us, for the rootedness we can have in him, for the fact that he's our Father in heaven, maybe our mother in heaven, certainly our parent, who wants nothing but good for us. But the second thing I suppose I want to reflect on comes more particularly out of this passage in Ephesians 2. And again, we have to tell the story and ask, well, what did this really speak about and what did it mean in its context? And the context was that Paul was witnessing this miracle happening in the church in front of him. Because what he was doing was bringing together in one church and one fellowship in Ephesus two people who had been majorly divided and opposed. So there was on the one side the Jewish people who for hundreds of years had regarded themselves as set apart, who'd established practices and ways of life that were deliberately distinctive. But at the same time, he was welcoming into this community, this church, people who had none of that background, who were Greeks or Romans, who were almost the enemy of the Jews. And he was finding that rich people and poor people, that men and women, that young and old, all these people were coming together into this one church. And he's reflecting in that Ephesians 2 passage on that amazing miracle that is happening, that people who should be at war with each other and certainly were divided in many ways were actually coming together. It's part of God's great story in the Bible, really, of bringing people together. So you see it, for example, in Jesus' ministry. Who did he choose to be his followers? Well, he chose some fishermen, yes, but he chose a man called Levi, who was a Roman tax collector, really. He chose a man called Nathanael, who was a very righteous Israelite, perhaps a Pharisee by his training. He chose a zealot who was very much opposed to that way of practice. So he brought in his own disciples, people who shouldn't really get on, and said, now get on together. We're going to do this thing together of following me and following God's way and proclaiming his kingdom. You saw it. You can see it in the church that was formed in Antioch. That's the place where the people who met to follow Christ were first called Christians, because they came from so many diverse places and so many different backgrounds that the only thing that bound them together was the fact that they were following Christ. So people said, well, this random group of people are Christians. That's what holds them together. And it's that Paul is talking about as God's amazing purpose of welcoming all sorts of people to bring them together across natural human divides of race, creed even, colour, all sorts of backgrounds. And he says this is a great work of God, for he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one, broken down the dividing wall, that is the hostility between us. So he's saying that part of what God did in Jesus Christ was not just to break down the barrier between us and God and to dismantle the barrier of sin and death, but actually to bring people who were often opposed, came from different places and backgrounds, together. And the church in the world, the Church of England, Anglican Communion, even the church locally, is a place where diverse people, all ages gather, all types of people, people with different political views gather, different means, rich and poor together, and we are all brought together across those boundaries to be one family. And then he goes on to describe us as being built rather wonderfully together, that he might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So you are no longer strangers and aliens, but citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. So I suppose the second thought for Mothering Sunday is that God wants us to have a much bigger vision of what family means. He wants us to be united with people that are unlike us. He wants us to stretch out hands of hospitality and welcome to the people who are not like us, and to build bridges with them, to welcome anyone into the whole family of God, and to be acutely aware, not just of our parents, but of anyone who might be in need, isolated, suffering, affected, impacted by what's going on in the world, whether locally or across the world. Which leads me to the third thing I want to just reflect on briefly. How do we inhabit, how do we be that vision of church that God has presented to us. To be immensely practical, I went shopping just yesterday. I'm in the shop, and as I go out with a few things that I'm going to put in the local food bank collection point, I realise that, unlike usual, that's empty. Not only are the shelves empty, but people are increasingly walking out with all the stuff they need and forgetting the people who probably most need. So when we think of celebrating and thanking our mothers or our parents and ringing those people that are particularly dear to us and important friends, maybe we need to be thinking as well about those who are unlike us, those who live on the other side of town, those whom we don't know but we do know to be in need. And we need to be thinking of how we give back and demonstrate love, hospitality, welcome and care to those people. So I have, for example, been through our shelves and I realised that because we have a granddaughter, we bought a great number of these. They're size 6 nappies. Well, when we go across to church later, I'm going to take these with us and put those in the collection place that there is in the church. More than that, we happen to organise to buy toilet rolls in bulk generally every 3 months. So we have a cupboard full of these toilet rolls in great supply, probably something desperately needed by some people around in Cobham in this area. And I think the food bank has that at the top of their list. So we'll take some of our supply and put them in there for other people. So today, I wonder if I can invite you to go on a sort of walk or journey on Mothering Sunday. Maybe because the church is open for people to go in individually or as a family. Maybe to go for your exercise today and be out in the open, but to head for the church. When you go in, you'll find that there's a primrose wrapped in brown paper that you could take for your mother or a loved one. But there's also, just near it, a collection point for the food bank. So maybe when you set out on your journey, you could look through your cupboard and work out what you could share with other people that you don't know, but God does. Other people for whom you are divided in many ways, and yet with whom you want to be united. And you could leave behind something like that. And while you're there, you could just wander quietly into the church and pray with thanksgiving for your mother, the people who are important to you, and give thanks to God for them. And in the same breath, you could pray for some people that you may not know, who live on the other side of the tracks, who face different difficulties, the people who are seriously stretched and maybe worse affected than you and I are as yet by this coronavirus epidemic. And even if you can't go on that journey, think about how you balance. Care for the people that you know and love who have been good to you, but also extending a hand of hospitality, welcome, love and practical care to the people whom God also loves, with whom he wants to unite us in one glorious church family in which all are welcome. Amen.
So now we turn to our prayers, and I'm going to use the response, Lord, in your mercy, and I invite you to say, hear our prayer. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And first, a prayer for those whom we love but see no more. Heavenly Father, we thank you for every single person who has been a precious part of the fabric of our lives, for our parents, for brothers and sisters, for teachers, for good friends, perhaps for vicars. Lord, we thank you for every single one of those people who has created who we are today. And we thank you especially for their love and concern for us. Help us never to forget this. And Lord, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might, in our turn, become those who are part of the formation of the lives of others around us, especially those of the younger generation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We turn now to think of those in need because of the coronavirus, ourselves included. And this is a prayer written by the moderator of the Church of Scotland. Living God, in our hour of need, we turn again to you, for we have nowhere else to turn. We've put our faith in you because you have proved your faithfulness time and again. We reaffirm our love for you because you have never let us go. We thank you that you are not distant from us, but have drawn near in your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. He has shared our life, tasted our death, and defeated it. And he understands our worries and our fears. Help us, Lord, to respond as your children now. We pray for this pandemic spreading across our world, remembering all those who have lost loved ones, and praying for all who are seriously ill or who are suffering in any way at this time. And at this point, you might like to pause in the quiet, as I will now, to think of anyone who is known to you who is in that position. Name them in your heart before God. Let's take a moment of quiet. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Father, as we have prayed for those who are ill, we pray for all those involved in our National Health Service as it responds to these added pressures on its already overstretched services. We pray for doctors and nurses and all in the caring professions who work to help and support people as best they can. Father, we also lift to you all leaders of government across the world, but especially, Lord, we pray for our own government. We pray for wisdom for the Prime Minister, Mr. Boris Johnson, for the Chancellor, for all those working hard to mitigate the awful effects of this pandemic. We pray for scientists struggling and desperately trying to come up with answers, to come up with a vaccine. Lord, we pray your inspiration of all of them now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, I'm going to use the collect for Mothering Sunday. God of love, passionate and strong, tender and careful, watch over us and hold us all the days of our life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And before I share a blessing, I want to remind you to look at our St. Andrew's Oakshop website, because you will find a lot of information there. Songs signposted for you, other offerings from those who are much better at online services than we are, things for children, things for families. But also, please do remember our phone number, 01372 842 071. If you are in any difficulty or just want to talk to somebody, please ring us and we will endeavour to ring you back. And now I'm going to say God's blessing. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be upon you and those whom you love this day and always. Amen.